Please, let's quickly go to Ephesians chapter 1.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's what Greg's talking about. Empty of himself. And that's what we're going to
Ephesians
2? 1. First Ephesians. What we are slowly seeing is this, the apprehension of this gift of faith, the third of the listed gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the apprehension of it is dependent on your destruction of all idolatry, because the gift of faith cannot coexist with idolatry. And the most intransigent idols are always the things that you think are good, and they're represented in your hope. What? The last to leave. Did you ask what intransigent? Refuses to yield. What?
Intransigent.
I can't even say it now.
Don't use any more three-syllable.
That's a four-syllable. Anyhow, so if you are willing to have the idolatry that you think is good, the things that you think are good, to be destroyed so that you can walk in emptiness, then the gift of faith is available to you. This is not the believing faith, or the saving faith. This is the faith of the constancy, the shift of your point of view, and all the other things that we've talked about. But it's dependent on the destruction of hope. And the destruction of hope, if there is in anything in which you are not content, then you have hope. Does that communicate? Now, every time that you have an idea or a plan or an agenda, then you resurrect the idolatry, because by definition you will hope to achieve. Now, this is why this is so terrible, so difficult for the human race to understand, because your whole basis of being has been hope. Everybody understand clearly? Are you willing to let or to destroy all hope except in the resurrection?
This made me think of, I normally think of idols as, oh, there's one, oh, maybe that's one. You know, it's like there are a few. But suddenly it just like dawned on me, there's nothing but idols. I mean, there's nothing about me out, with respect to out there that is not.
That's why there can't be any out there.
Yeah, and if I think I only have to repent of a little here and a little there, I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, your mind only can latch on to idols.
It really is only one idol, but it has many, many faces. And the idol is self-control, self-awareness, self-realization, or Molech. And so it's got, you know, many tentacles that are faces.
That's why it better be important.
It's for Jim.
No, this is John. Yeah.
Yeah, Irma called because her electricity went out.
I heard, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just asking a question.
Is that 35 going to be on your phone for a little while?
Whether it's
sorry?
Somebody calling from me.
Okay, how about if I need to call back for a little while?
Made you think of what?
Well,
always been curious how this doctrine can be heard and heard and heard and heard. And it seems that it is never heard. But I think it's keyed into this is that you hear the cross and you say, oh, yeah, that's right. I agree with that. So I'll,
it goes deeper.
Yeah, I'll deny a few things. And you think you've fallen in. Your mind tricks you to that acquiescence, thinking, well, now I'm a disciple. I've abandoned a thing or two. But it's so total.
Who's this? This
is
Bruce, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. Grab a chair next. There's Ken right there. You can grab a chair next to him. So again, the gift of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is dependent on your destruction of the idols that you think are good. And those are all represented by the things that you hope for. Critical. I mean, it's because you can't go any. There's nothing more I can talk to you about until hope. The only hope you have is the resurrection. The only idea you have is the resurrection. The only life you have is His resurrection. There is no other life.
If you can't pass through this door, you're still hearing all doctrine for self. Even the cross doctrine is all about me.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, but it just seems like I need to repeat it again. The things that happen up to Passover, up to the cross, are fundamentally the cross. In its normal way of thinking about it, it's about those things that you think are bad. But then starts the counting of the Omer, so that you can truly experience the fullness of Pentecost. And you go through the 49 gates of iniquity coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world. And each one of those 49 gates are an arena that you think is good. Something about family, something about your career, something about your future, something about your health, about anything that you think is good. And every one of those is an idol. That is, that you're giving more breath, more importance to than you are to the living God. And this is why, I've been so hard on you with regard to ideas. Because every idea, by definition, becomes an idol.
You could call them ideologies.
No, you can't. No, you can't do that.
First person.
For men, I thought it was way.
Remember, the whole mystery of godliness is about humility. All of the ancient, both Christian and Jew, said that humility was the first, second, and third requirement. And humility doesn't mean meekness and wanting around like the true meaning of humility in the scriptures is emptiness. So that you can have His resurrection manifested second by second in you without you in the way. But it's critical that you repent of hope. Oh, I hope that weather is nice. I mean, it's constant. It's in your language. Oh, I hope that the Cowboys win. Who gives a crap whether the Cowboys win? Oh, I hope the economy gets better. We're not dependent on the economy. Oh, I hope so-and-so wins the election. Who cares? We pray for whoever's the leader. Oh, I hope this. Oh, I hope. It's an endless. And so today, if you're willing to engage in the battle, this can be the beginning of a new life that has, you have no concept of what it's about. Where you're truly in the world, but you're never of it. There's nothing about the world. And you find that you, along with God, you will see the world as he does, and you will find out that anything that you want that's highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Any idea that you have that's highly esteemed among anybody else is an abomination to God, and it becomes an abomination to you. And the gift of faith then gives you the boldness to never fear again the faces of men or their reaction to you, or women, or wives, or husbands. Now let's go to Ephesians. We're going to see how it's manifested in Ephesians. Ephesians is analogous to the book of Joshua in the New Testament. Joshua was after they'd gone through the wilderness and they'd entered the promise. Well, the book of Ephesians is about, really about us in the promise.
In terms of self-seeking, in terms of empowering the flesh, the so-called good things it's a far more potent wine.
Oh yeah, it's the wine of Ephraim.
Supposedly has God's seal of approval on it. It's just
go to any religious thing or look at any religious writings. You'll see that it's full of hope. Oh, we got to go do this because we got to save the world. The gospel has to be preached. Well, the gospel already has been preached to every creature under heaven. Well, we got to do this. No, you just got to abandon yourself. You just got to empty yourself.
You can really see how all those things energize the flesh.
Of course, they energize the flesh because they give you purpose. So you gain sustenance and satisfaction from those ideas, from those things. You get purpose. Your only purpose is a vessel. You're like a broken jug. If the broken jug can do anything, then it thinks it can, then it can't be a broken jug because you'll always fix the jug. But if you know you're broken, then his life is manifest with no effort on your part.
You know, that was one of my major concerns.
Well, that's every man. Why am I here? You're here to die. What am I going to do? You're going to fail.
We're thinking along those lines.
Huh?
We're thinking along those lines, though.
I know. You watch television and watch movies and read books, and you took a little piece of the clay from there and a little piece from there, and you created yourself.
Right. But I'm not doing it now.
I knew you weren't running.
That reminds me of what Kevin said during a week or so ago about how he desperately wants to have some superpower, some thing that, you know.
Kevin said.
Kevin does too. So but he was talking about Stuart.
He's super fun.
But I mean, you can remember that. You wanted to be invisible or read people's minds or something special.
Well, that's why, I mean, sure. Look at all the popularity of these superhero crap. Oh. Oh. I can imagine me doing that.
How did that vanishing cream work?
Vanishing cream work. I was able to peek in my neighbor's window and nobody saw me. But you'll have more mojo than you ever dreamed of if you apprehend the gift of, or if you let the gift of faith apprehend you instead of you trying to do something. Instead of you wanting these good things. Good things are crap. They're corruption.
It's a worm on a hook dangling in front of you.
That humility struck me. Your usual example is lion or wolf walking through the room.
Saber-toothed tiger.
Having all the power to destroy you.
To take your neck off is what I usually
say.
Yeah,
which is pretty much the same. And yet...
Doesn't.
I mean, that's... as opposed to what we think of humility being weak and out of breath.
You got to have your shoulders go like this.
You go like, yeah.
And you're a little nerdy. And shy. Remember when Pete found out that shyness was the greatest form of pride? Huh? No, nobody thought you were a nice Pete. We were just kidding you. We always knew you were the dark overlord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are always only to those of like precious faith. They're not to the world. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The only way you can be holy and without blame before him in love is for you to be gone. By one offering you've been perfected forever. But you have to let go. You have to be gone. According as his having predestinated us unto the adoption, the huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son, that's what the word adoption means, of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's nothing that you want more. There's nothing any human being wants more than to be accepted . But you cannot be accepted as long as you're still controlling yourself. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Do you know the mystery of his will? It's already said. It's already been made known unto us. Oh, I'm searching for the will of God in my life. Stop searching and be. The will of God in your life, the call of God in your life, all is Jesus. And it's his business how that manifestation of his call happens in you. Not your business. It's not your business to define it. It's your business just to abandon yourself. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, the fullness of Christ is in you. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. No, it's according to my good pleasure. God wants me to be fulfilled. God wants me to be healthy. God wouldn't want you to be... God doesn't want you to be crap. He wants you to be empty. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time. What did we just find out in Mark yesterday? We found out that when Christ appeared after his baptism and after his temptation in the wilderness, he said, the fullness of time is over. Now is the set time of the Lord. Now is the kingdom of God. Now, now, now. Never again anything waiting to happen. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Therefore, nothing in the universe is not after the counsel of his own will. Therefore, if you think anything should change or anything is wrong, then you are in a state of rebellion. You say the words that Jesus is Lord, but if you act, well, this is wrong, and I should be this, and this should be different, and that should be that way, and this should be that way, then you, by definition, are in a state of rebellion, still trying to control your own destiny and your own purpose. It's He. It's the counsel of His will, not yours, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance, until redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now this is the prayer, and this is Paul's prayer for all saints. And you've got to hear it. There's no place, there's not one place in this prayer where Gary's name is mentioned. There's not one place in this prayer where any of my inheritance or my calling is mentioned. Listen carefully. Wherefore I also, after I heard of you, I said that. In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's where most people stop. If you listen to Benny Hinn or anybody, they stop there. Oh, I've got this new revelation. No. Listen. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of my calling? No. What is the hope of His calling? And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Anytime, you got to hear this, anytime that you believe that something is wrong, you believe something should change. I always do this. I always believe something's wrong because I believe you should have heard by now. But that's not my business. And I, as Carolyn so aptly pointed out the other day, I have to repent. Shut up, Carolyn. I don't like that smirk on your face. I wish that John would talk more.
I'm trying to.
I wish that Harry would behave. I wish that Joy Santa would stop picking on me. I want everything to change. I wish this place was nice. I wish the people here were nice. I wish the people here were good looking, behaved themselves, and didn't have crooked blinds and everything. So after anything that I want, I have to repent of. Can you see that? Can you see that in the economy of God, it's all Him? All that He has to give you is more of Himself. But He cannot occupy you in those places in you where you are. And the secret hopes and the secret shame. That's why He desires truth in the inward part. In the hidden part, He'd make you to know. The first gift was a gift of wisdom. The axe is laid to the root of the tree, and you're the tree. You don't have any more life coming from the earth. Second is a gift of knowledge. The certainty that this applies in every situation in which you're in. The third is the gift of faith. That now there's a total upside down difference in your point of view. That nothing can move you from peace. that you have the boldness to speak what you see. What you hear is what you will see. What you see is what you do. That's why repent. Every time you think something is wrong, it's Father, forgive me. It's not even decent. Well, I'm going to go do something else. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but the whole point of it is this doesn't have anything to do with me. Now I got 30 seconds. I got a couple. Let's go over quickly to. Chapter 2, verse 5. Or verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, by grace which ye saved, or which ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the point of this is what has already been done. You're already seated with him. So now just look and hear the same thing he hears. It's finished. Everything is perfect. He is Lord. Everything is exactly as it should be. All things are under his feet. Everything in the universe is going exactly as it should be. Therefore, if I think something is wrong, and by God, by definition, I'm going to think everything's wrong, then I know I must say, Father, forgive me. I must leave more of me behind. The gift of faith is mind-blowing, and it's when it apprehends you. But it can't apprehend you when you have all these good things. When you have anything, there's all kinds of the phony gifts. We haven't even gotten to the good gifts, the things that everybody thinks they want, the gift of healing and the gift of prophecy, the gift of the miracles and all that. But that can't happen until the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of faith have been at least penetrated you in some way. Amen? Just search these scriptures daily and find out if you're there anywhere. I found out I was there, yeah. I was Cain who killed Abel.
When you said that just now, I know with everything in me that with the gift of wisdom and knowledge and faith, being fully operative, then it's raining and he's healed are the same. It's like all that other stuff is just stuff that happens, like the sun going down. It's just, oh, look at that interesting thing.
Because
something to be.
Yeah, don't get a
grasp.
It's everything becomes an awe. If you didn't, I'd kick you out. So.
One thing that was one of the most helpful things to me having the privilege and the burden sometimes of knowing Jesus a long time, it struck me about 30 years into this deal that is an epiphany, a mind-blowing experience that I've been reading the scriptures instead of letting the scriptures read me.
Amen.
It was like so when I opened the book, I used to, I'm going to do Bible stuff. I'm going to learn this. I have warehouses full of books and tapes and shit. Warehouses stuff.
Shipping the opposite word.
Totally. And then it just hit me. I just need to let the Bible read. I need to let the Bible read me. Does that make any sense?
Sure, because the Bible was written. In order to understand the scriptures, you have to read it from the standpoint of where it was written. It was written from eternity's standpoint. And so, this is where we are seated. We are seated on that in the heavenly places. We are seated in a place of no time. And so as long as anything in your consciousness is time dependent, then you know you've read wrong. That's why the whole idea of dispensations, it's just you can't believe the damage it's done to the body of Christ. But it's all him apprehending you, not you apprehending it. You cannot use this thing to apprehend him. Amen.